God. All I know is that you have to spend a little time on that. I was thinking of my dad this week. I was working with Cameron, and we were working together, and I was thinking back when I was his age, how much I just hated all the work that I had to do at 12 years old, you know, the mowing of the lawns and everything. Whatever work there was to do with Dad, I would have rather gone and get on my skateboard with my friends and go ride the bike or do something like that. But I was telling Cameron how much I would give to just have a moment again where I could just work with Dad. And I'm sure we all have felt that way, those of us who have lost our fathers. But today is Father's Day, and we want to honor you. That is a biblical principle. We are to honor our fathers and our mothers, and they deserve it. We are grateful to God for them, and specifically today for our fathers. Speaking of Father's Day, and speaking of fathers, I want to share something that was written by Dobson, James Dobson. He said one of his heroes, and this was taken out of a book called Bringing Up Boys. If you want to read a good book, fathers, mothers as well, anybody on raising your children and bringing up young boys and the challenges that they have in the world today and society, get that book. But he tells about General Douglas MacArthur and how MacArthur was one of his heroes, the great military leader who led Allied forces to victory over Imperial Japanese Army in World War II, then commanded the United Nations in Korea. His surprise landing in Incheon was one of the most brilliant maneuvers in the history of warfare. Dobson went on to say these accomplishments explain why, even after his death, MacArthur is still respected. There's another reason why this man should be revered, said Dobson. Listen to this quote. It can be traced back to a speech he gave in 1942. After receiving an award for being a good father, he said, quote, "Nothing touched me more deeply than this honor given to me by the National Father's Day Committee. By profession, I am a soldier and take great pride in that fact. But," he said, "I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father." You see, a soldier destroys in order to build up. The father only builds, he never destroys. The one has the potentialities of death, the other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not for battle, but in life. Isn't that a great quote by MacArthur? I think we could all look back and say, you know, it's one thing to leave a legacy as fathers, or anybody to leave a legacy through our occupation. How much more important it is for us to leave a legacy in our homes. That's where the real legacy is. That we leave that legacy, that we leave something for our children. And no, we haven't done it perfectly. And no, we won't do it perfectly. But we will keep striving every day to be the best example we can. You know, God, when He wanted His nature understood, He had Himself pictured or described as a father. Don't forget. To me, that's one of the most personal things about God. And why would He do that? Why would He set up the home as He has, with a father and a mother and that authority and then the children? Why would He do that? And to leave an example for us of Himself as our Heavenly Father. Think back to the times when you have starved for forgiveness. Hopefully you aren't right now. You know you're forgiven in Christ Jesus. But those moments when you long for forgiveness, for whatever reason the struggles have caused you to wrestle with your life, to wrestle with your past, your guilt and all the other things, the sin that paralyzes you in your life. And it is God as a Father that makes the difference. Think of the prodigal son. We know the story. We love the story of the prodigal that squandered his inheritance and went off. But he came back, and then we see that beautiful picture of our Father, of God, the one who receives his son back. You know, I believe that if we think of God as Father as well, it'll help us learn to communicate and the importance of communicating better. Think of our earthly relationships. I know as a father, I'm not a perfect communicator. You aren't either. None of us are. Our fathers weren't. But think back to those moments. I'm sure your father, many of you can think back to a moment when you could go to him and you could talk to him. You could communicate because of the struggles you were having in life. I remember my dad wasn't a big communicator, but I remember in those times when I would meet him as a teenager, or if I was struggling with a relationship, he always had the ability to just have that open door and be open, and I could communicate. I could talk to him as my father. When Jesus wanted God's nature understood, how did he describe him? When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Will you teach us to pray? Show me how to pray." Isn't that a funny thing to say? Have you ever met somebody that asked you to help them learn how to pray? The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Will you teach us to pray?" And how did he say to pray? "This is how you pray, the Lord's Prayer." We know it. It's been quoted so many times. "Our Father, hallowed be thy name. You are holy, set apart above all." But he introduces him there in his prayer as the Father. I always think of the story of that child that heard this and quoted it and said, "Our Father who does art in heaven, hallowed is his name." I love how children sometimes hear things. His name is not Howard, but he is our Father. And maybe he does do art in heaven. I don't know. But God is our Father. Yes, he's just. We know he is righteous in every way. We know he is all-powerful creator and God, but he is Father. And I want you to think of him today, fathers and all of us, today and not only today, but every day we have, and remember that God is our Father. Paul, in that great chapter in Ephesians 6, verse 6, that area where he talks about oneness and unity in the body. There's one Lord, one faith, he says, one baptism, right? And then he says, one God and what? Father. Who is over all, who is through all, and who is in all. So we understand more about God when we think of him as a Father. David put it this way, I love this, that God is a Father of the fatherless. Oh, that's a beautiful thought. And a judge for the widows, showing the very compassion of who God really is. You know, some fathers are absent. Some fathers are absent by choice. But you know, some fathers are absent not by choice. And this is a verse that really, I think, touches on who God really is. That he is the Father. He is the one who comforts the fatherless. That's who he is. He is our Father. Psalm 103 and verse 13, the psalmist said, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." I ran across a statistic that I wanted to share. This was back in 1998, very frightening. I don't know what the current statistic is. But in 1998, there were over 1,200,000 people in federal or strict state prison. Over 1,200,000 people. According to this study, 94%, that means 94% of these people, or 94% were males. Of the 3,452 prisoners waiting on death row in 1998, only 48 of those were women, which means that 98% of those were males. That's why one woman said, "It is far easier to build strong children than to repair broken homes." You see, fathers, we do mean a lot to the home. We really do mean a lot to this community. And we mean a lot to the church. We mean a lot to this nation. You know, really, when I think about what's important for our country, I mean, if we're going to put it all aside, we can look at all kinds of things. But doesn't it really, truly begin in the home? And it starts with us as fathers. I think far more than the White House, we need to focus on our house. And many would amen that, because that's where it's going to make the difference. As we are fathers and we look at our legacy and we look at our lives, I've got one point, just one simple point, that we need to be the spiritual leaders in our lives and in our children's lives and in our lives. You've heard lessons like this so many times and the importance of this, but I felt like Father's Day today is a good day to remind us. Don't quit. Don't stop. Even if you have made mistakes. A greeting card company. This was startling when I read this. It really eye-opening. Dobson shares this in that same book that I mentioned in my introduction. That a greeting card company many years ago went into a state pen and and allowed prisoners to send a card to their mothers on Mother's Day. The lines were long. Everybody in there went who had a mother, and they sent a card. Every inmate went and sent a card to their mothers. Well, it was so great of an experience, they thought we'll do the same thing on Father's Day. And they came to the prison on Father's Day. They allowed any of the prisoners to send a card to their fathers. And you want to know how many sent a card to their fathers? According to this story, not one. I want to talk about something that is eye-opening of our relationship with our children and how it affects our society and the good it'll do for our society if we are there for our children. And if we are the spiritual leaders in our home, doing the best that we can. For we are told, Proverbs chapter 14, 34, that righteousness exalts a nation. That sin is a disgrace to any people. That God will exalt any nation if they will be a righteous people. And it starts with us. It starts with us as fathers. And how important it is to leave a legacy in the home. I heard this story of a preacher in Australia. They were struggling with fathers that were copping out and not holding up their responsibility in the home. And the preacher was talking about all this when he was a missionary over there, and he said that a mother and a daughter were coming to services, and he went to visit them one day in their home after they had visited. The husband of that family said, as so many men in that area did, "My wife does my church going for me." You know what the preacher said? The preacher said to him, "She may have to go to heaven one day for you too." I like that one. I don't think I would say that, but I like that. She might have to go to heaven in your place as well, because you're not being responsible. That's not how it works. Research tells us the importance of our role as fathers in the formation of the character of our children. And as we leave here today, I want us to think about that as fathers. I want to encourage us to work in those areas. As long as we're aware of it and we work on it, how important it is and how much better our world will be, our nation will be, the church will be. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul leaves the responsibilities and husbands and wives, and I think it's important to just read through that this morning. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. That wives are to be subject to their own husbands as to the Lord. This is how the home works. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. That is our responsibility as husbands, as fathers, to love our children's mothers, to love our wives. And Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 4 and following, that one of the qualifications of a leader, of an elder, of a shepherd, is that they are to be able to manage their household well. That they are responsible for their household. That's something for us to consider. One last verse that I'd like to share this morning, as I encourage us to be the spiritual leaders of our home, for our children, for the youth, for those of you who want to give your fathers a present today, if you haven't already, make sure, kids, you say Happy Father's Day to your fathers if you haven't. But I was thinking of 3 John chapter 4, and I know this is in a spiritual context, but it applies. John says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. Fathers, I know there's nothing more that you would want for your children and your children's children to follow that legacy, to follow Christ, to walk in the truth, and to be an example for Jesus Christ. That's the lesson this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. I want to encourage you this week to put your focus where it needs to be, to follow Christ. The invitation is yours. If we can encourage you, if you need prayers, if you're ready to obey the gospel this morning, would you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?